to hear Cole's voice get deep like that, it just encourages me. Good job reading this morning. The reason that Christina got married is so that her husband could bring me water. I appreciate everyone being here this morning. The text is kind of a challenging passage, isn't it? Jesus doesn't pull any punches. As these two gentlemen say, "Lord, I'll follow you." And Jesus says, "Oh, really? Yeah? Let's think about that a minute." You know, Jesus never wanted to trick anyone into being one of his disciples. Neither did he withhold the downside of discipleship. And there is a downside. He always made it clear that there is a steep cost in following him. He never tried to sell people on the idea. Yesterday, we were going through some cleaning around the house, and these two nice ladies came and rang the doorbell. And they came up to the house just so friendly and sweet, and they had these flags rolled up in their hand. You know the kind of flags that the proud football fans put on their car? You know, they go down the road, they have those things hanging on the window. They had an Alabama flag and an Auburn flag. And they came to the door, and I'm thinking, you know, well, when I came down there, Faye and Brittany were already at the door, and I came down there, and I had on my Alabama shirt, and she just reached out that Alabama flag and handed it to me. Said, "I want you to have this." Well, I'm thinking, "Well, how did you know I'm an Alabama fan?" She said, "Your shirt." And I'm thinking, "You're pretty slick." But they were nice ladies, and they said, "We just want to give you this flag for sharing with us your honest opinion." And she asked, "Are you honest people?" Well, I was kind of stunned. I said, "Well, we try to be." And she said, "Well, we're asking good people such as yourselves to give us your honest opinion about an amazing product. We get paid just for getting folks' opinion about it. Can we bring it in and show you just so you can give us your honest opinion?" They were selling vacuum cleaners. Sneaky! I gave them back their flag. Now, don't misunderstand me. I have nothing but respect for people trying to make a living. And a home sales is a difficult job, but an honorable profession. And while I know there are some swindlers and some crooks out there, and they peddle a lot of products, they're both overpriced and don't work. But what folks have to do, if they're going to do door-to-door sales like that, they've got to overcome resistance to letting them come into your house. And so they're going to have to be a little misleading, a little sneaky, a little, I don't want to say deceptive, but they certainly are not going to give you information till they're inside. Y'all remember the old trick where the salesman would put his foot in the door? Y'all remember seeing that on TV? Many salesmen got their feet mashed like that. Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't have to be. And he would never, ever mislead or try to persuade someone to follow him. It was entirely their choice. It was up to them. And while he was on the earth, walking with Jesus, well, at first it was attractive and appealing because he was popular, he was powerful, you never knew when you were going to get a free meal. If you had, there was always something exciting around Jesus because he was constantly healing people and he taught some amazing truths. He was an amazing prophet. But Jesus did not want the crowds to follow him without a clear understanding of what they would have to give up and of what they'd be up against. He wanted them to know that up front. There would be a high price to pay for anyone who would be his disciple. Our Lord had as his purpose to separate the casual from the committed. He didn't want casual followers. He wanted committed followers. We sing, "It pays to serve Jesus," and that's true enough, but it also costs to serve Jesus. I like a good deal, don't you? I want a bargain. I want the best price I can get for something. Now, if you're like me, I've got some Scottish blood in me, you see. You may have this frugal side to you that you want something that, but you don't want to have to pay more than it's worth. And if you can do it, you don't want to have to pay even what it's worth. You'd like to get a really good deal, a really good bargain. Flea markets can be fun, but you got to be adventurous, don't you? Because here you go at a flea market and you find this whatchamacallit that you've been looking for. It's the perfect thing. It's just exactly what you've been looking for. And now you got to be willing to dicker or bargain or negotiate the price. Because typically, they're going to have it set a bit higher than it's worth, aren't they? That's just the way it goes. And so you got to be ready to do that. But when you come upon that item, and beside the price tag is written the word firm. What does that mean? Well, in most cases, it means you're not going to get it for a penny less than what they got on the sign. That's what you're going to pay. If it says firm, that means I've already taken into account the negotiating and haggling and all of that. Now, in India, they don't respect you if you pay what's on the sticker. They think, oh, you're just a tourist. And they will take your money and be happy all the way to the bank. They expect you to haggle and to dicker. They expect you to bargain with them. But when that price says firm, in India they have on some of these stickers fixed price. That means no bargaining. You're going to pay what it is. And that's the price you have to pay for it if you want it. If you want it. In our text this morning, Jesus is with this great multitude, and a certain scribe comes to him, "Teacher, I will follow you. I love what you say. I love the miracles you're doing. I really think you're great. I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What is he saying? Jesus has high prices for what he offers, and they are firm. They are fixed prices. There is no negotiating. And what are the prices that for so many people seem to be too high to pay? What keeps so many from becoming disciples? Well, in this case, this first man, loss of personal comfort. What? I don't want to be uncomfortable. Y'all, I'm going to confess something to you. I don't know if I can do this. I went out and bought me a fan to put up here because it gets hot, Richard. It gets hot up here. And I can turn this thing on and it's so nice. I want to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable. Yes, I know. That was a beautiful thing. That's what I was doing. I was giving y'all that windblown look. No, I want to be comfortable, don't you? You pay, you get what you pay for. So I want a comfortable bed to sleep in. I want comfortable clothes. I want comfortable shoes. I want food that makes me feel good. I don't want to eat something that makes my face melt off. I don't want to eat something that tastes nasty and makes my tongue want to escape. Okay? I want to be comfortable. I want to be well rested. I want a good chair to sit in. I want to be comfortable around the people that I'm with. I don't want to be uncomfortable around folks that are ridiculing me or highly critical of everything that I say or do. I'm not comfortable with that. Neither would you be. I want to be comfortable. Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to lose some of your comfort. You're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone. Now, people ask Faye all the time, how do you live with him? I know you find that hard to believe, but they do. Folks, I'm not always in preacher mode. A lot of times, I'm not saying anything. A lot of times I'm very quiet, reserved to myself. I'm more comfortable that way. But I can step outside my comfort zone to preach a sermon. I can step outside my comfort zone to talk to someone about Jesus, but I'm much more comfortable just letting them pass by, because that way I don't have to exert myself. Okay? Jesus says, you're going to follow me. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. I don't even have a place to stay. You're going to follow me? You're going to lose some personal comfort. Some of your comfort zones are going to be affected. The gospel is simple, but its demands are not easy. It calls for people to move to a mission field where things are not easy like they were at home. Or, if someone is not able to move, for them to give of their treasure to send someone. We got no choice. It's going to be one or the other. You give of your treasure or you go, one or the other. You're staying home and providing the funds for a person to go, or you're doing the going. Now, in our neighborhood, we all have to go. This is one of the responsibilities of being a Christian, is going and sharing the gospel with people around us that are lost. The gospel calls for people to give up sinful practices and goals and to take up the cross of commitment, of sacrifice, of faithful service. That's the call of the gospel. It is not a gospel of comfort. It is not a gospel of taking it easy. It is not a gospel that says, hey, you can stay exactly who you are and where you are. It's a gospel that calls for people to change, and change is difficult. And there are many people willing to be in the army as long as all they have to do is march in parades, but very few are willing to march into battle. That's the challenge. Obedience to Jesus and His gospel may very well make you comfortable in some places. I mean, let's face it, there's peace, there's direction and purpose in life, there's closeness with brethren, there's a lot of things that'll make us comfortable, make us feel really good. I love when we get together for fellowship meals, or just to sit and visit, or to be in each other's homes. These are wonderful things. We can be so comfortable in times like that. But there's more to being a Christian than being comfortable. There's also persecution. There is denying self. There is showing love even for one's enemies. Yet with all of this, the gospel offers to give you a life of purpose and fulfillment. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In John 15, 11, these things I've spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What about the second fellow? Another of his disciples, verse 21, said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Now what is that? That seems a little harsh. When I first read this as a teenager, I thought, Jesus, you won't even let the man go to his own funeral? Or the funeral, I'm sorry, that didn't come out right, did I? You won't even let the man go to his father's funeral? He's got to ignore and forsake his family? The Crossroads movement that was popular in the church, unfortunately, many years ago, back in the mid-70s and up until the mid-80s, took this literally. You must forsake your family. You must abandon them, and you must become a dedicated disciple of Christ, and we're going to help you do that. We're going to give you the rules. And they became basically a bunch of Pharisees is what they really became. This passage, Jesus is not telling the man you can't go to your father's funeral because his daddy's not dead yet. Now, I don't know if his daddy's dying or if his daddy's just old and will not be around a whole lot longer. But what he is saying is, Lord, I will follow you, but it's going to be some time before I'm free. There have been times when people have called and said, Robert, I really need to talk to you, but I'm in the middle of another session or an appointment of some sort and I can't get free. And I have to postpone it. I have to say, look, I can't see you today. I can talk to you tomorrow. And I know the same thing has happened to you. You have conflicts that come up. You've got an appointment to be in two places at the same time. How can you be in both? And so somebody has to be postponed. That is inevitable. But with Jesus, you don't postpone Jesus. You don't postpone God. You don't say, God, would you please wait for me? What does the Bible tell us to do? Wait upon the Lord. Now, I know wait upon the Lord has to do with serving the Lord and serving the Lord in God's good time. But God, we don't have the right to ask God to wait on us. This boy's dad is not dead yet. What he's saying is, let me fulfill my duties to my father, my family first. Let me put my family ahead of you, Lord. And then I will follow you when I fulfill that obligation. That's what he's saying. And Jesus says, you let the dead bury the dead, or the dying bury the dead. You let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You let someone else, you delegate to someone else the responsibility of handling your family affairs, and you follow me. That's the choice that Jesus gave him. You let somebody else do that and you follow me. We're going to deal with spiritual things. Let someone else deal with the physical. Now there's a principle in that we need to pick up on. We need to understand that God has to come first before anything or any other relationship. Your relationship with God must be first. It must be the most important relationship in your life. Now, I know mamas with small children, you got to take care of those kiddos. That's God's command. And husbands have to care for wives, and wives have to care for husbands, and all of that. I understand that. That's God's command. But you do not put your husband ahead of God, ladies. You do not put your wife ahead of God, gentlemen. You do not put your children ahead of God, parents. You do not put your parents ahead of God, children. God comes first. That's the way it's set up. That's the way God intended it. And that's the cost that Jesus says of being his disciple. You let the dead bury the dead, and you come follow me. Here we have a young person that had misplaced priorities. This second disciple felt the call of family ties over the call to follow Jesus. Some people, like this man, make family the focus of their lives. Others make the work that they do the focus of their lives. Some would make personal pleasure and leisure, taking it ease, the most important thing. Others would make themselves the focus of their lives. It's what I want. It's really all about me. Where is God in all of this? What position does God take? Some people, if they won the lottery, okay? I'm going to show you the slice that they would give to God of themselves, okay? If they won the lottery, $10 million. Wow, that's nice. You take that $10 million, you divide it into the slices of a pie chart, okay? Got all these pieces of pie. You got this big percentage is for this, and this big percentage is for this. The percentage that they would donate to charity, that's the God place. That's the God part. And that's just a tiny little sliver of the pie. That's what they get. That's what they give to God. That's the amount of God that they want in their lives. And it's unfortunate because these things are not necessarily bad of themselves, but they become bad when they keep us from being loyal followers of Jesus. They become bad. So what are the prices that are so high for some people to pay? What is it that keeps so many from becoming disciples of Jesus? Well, what it boils down to is procrastination more than anything else. Putting it off. Now, we often try to put off important or difficult decisions. We want some time. We don't want to be in a hurry and make a bad decision, make a mistake. But with some things, it's a limited time offer, isn't it? A limited time offer. You better hurry. You better act fast. This won't be around long. Take it or leave it. We want to think about it. But sometimes we just don't want to commit to it. Not yet. I'll never forget a mother in North Carolina. Her son was a member of our congregation at Wilson. He was in college, and he lived over in Boone, North Carolina. And I had visited with his mom over there. I'd been to Boone, and on the other end of the state, I was over that way for some reason, and he took me by and introduced me to his mom. So I'm sitting there with her, talking to her about him. He's not yet a Christian, but he wants to become one. And she told me she did not want him to become a Christian yet. She wanted him someday to be a Christian, but not yet. He's too young. He needs to sow his wild oats. He needs to get it all out of his system. And then he would be ready to become a Christian. And that woman was serious. She meant it. That's what she truly believed. I want to be a Christian, but not yet. Not till I'm older. Not till it's later in my life. Not until it's closer to time for me to think about dying. But I'm too young to die. And it's too early in my life. I've got too many things that I want to do for me first before I sacrifice my life for God. Not to decide is to decide. It is to decide, no, I will not do that. Too many people, they don't so much decide against Jesus, they just fail to decide for Him. G.K. Chesterfield once made this statement: Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Boy, that's a true statement. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer made this comment. He reminded his readers that when Jesus calls us, He calls us to come and die. That's kind of harsh. Those are strong words. What do you mean? He calls us to die so we can live. To die to selfish pursuits. To die to worldly thinking. To die to the old ways so that He can give you an abundant life. Yeah, there are benefits to living the Christian life. And those benefits are significant. And they're life-changing. You will never be the same. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. They saw something's different about these Galileans. And they realized they had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, He changes your life. You're never the same. The benefits are far-reaching, life-changing, soul-saving, eternity-giving. That's what these benefits are for following Jesus. But the benefits come with a price. And they do not come except to those who will pay the price. Remember that religion, which costs nothing, accomplishes nothing. Will you follow Jesus? Will you pay the price? It's expensive. It's not cheap. There is no cheap grace. There is no cheap salvation. God paid the ultimate price by letting His Son die on the cross. He paid the price to save us from sin. Salvation was not cheap. Grace is not cheap. Grace cost God all that He had, His only begotten Son. No, grace is not cheap. Salvation is not cheap. But if you will pay the price, God will save you. If you will surrender to Him, He will call you His own. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will let you walk the streets of gold. He will let you live in heaven forever and ever and ever. Joy unending. Happiness so strong that your jaws hurt from smiling. A joy that we can't even comprehend on this earth. That's what God has in store for us. We can't understand it. But if we trust God, if we truly believe that it is God that made us and not we ourselves, that we are His sheep or we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, if we truly believe that God is our Father and loves us so much, then we know He has something wonderful waiting for us after this life. And so we're willing to pay whatever the price is. Whatever we have to pay, we'll pay in order to be God's children. Now, it's not money, although you give your money. It's not your time, although you give your time. It is not your talent and your skill, although that is needed too. God says, I want your life. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want your mind. I want your strength. I want all of you. I love you. And I want you with me. All of you with me. And if you will surrender to Him and pay the price, heaven will be your home. You have His word on it. If you're not a Christian, will you please believe Jesus is the Son of God? Will you please repent, turn away from sin to commit your life to the service of God? Will you confess the name of Jesus before men and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin? If you've never done that, will you please do that so that God can save you? Will you pay the price and be a child of God? If you're already one of His people but you've not been faithful, please rededicate your life to Him. Please repent of sin and commit to doing His will and serving Him. Whatever your needs, if we can help you today, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.